I would love to debate you on your healthcare policy. I think we need Medicare for all. You think public option, your housing policy, et cetera. I'm just being really real with you.
I want to talk about Israel.
They were part of your political coalition.
Well, that's right?
True what she just said. Notice how none of you fucking sloppers are protesting the Republican government. Even last week, the protests were against fucking Schumer and Jeffries.
Yep.
It's crazy. Donald Trump, what were the tough rooms that Donald Trump was in when he was running for president? Was there a single one for 2024? No, which is funny because these are the guys who always say, like, Democrats didn't even have a real primary. You guys didn't have a real primary. And it's like, Donald Trump literally skipped all of your debates. You guys didn't even really have a primary. But
like, Ezra Klein has been a cheerleader and champion of genocide for years.
A cheerleader and champion of genocide. Then we've got some Pisco slop. It's my last video.
Go into it with, be open to a different interpretation, because I actually rewatched that.
Tim Miller's going on Live
I watched
and Learn.
It at the time, yeah. And I had the same reaction that I did the last time I watched it, which is a few days ago, just to like remember what that was about. I think in that moment, she is a adult who feels a bit of contempt and frustration that she has to like talk to children.
Oh,
that's
no,
that's my
that's
take.
Thing. That's
on
why that. I said, regardless yeah. of your politics, I just think optically it still looked bad. Like, I don't think she handled that well if you agree with her. I don't think she handled it well if you disagree with her. Like, I think that is not.
I disagree.
If you're going to be under fire or running for president, I think it's really just not a good look if that's how you handle adversary. And if you like compare that,
keep in mind that the president Trump didn't go on any shows where there was anything adversarial ever. It never happened, but.
To like, I don't know, Bill Clinton on like Fox News. I just don't think she had good responses. And I agree. I really don't like Chris Paul and Sager and on a lot of issues. So I'm not like saying this as like a.
They're talking about, I think, Slotkin when she did her interview with Crystal Ball, which was just unbelievable.
A Crystal Ball Breaking Points fan. So
I could not disagree more. Like, but
I've
felt
never watched
like...
that. I heard that you were saying that she got like giga ambushed on there.
Yeah.
Shit.
Joining us
now. This was like the first time, or maybe one of the first times, this is like really early on where we saw like a Democratic big like politician start to go on like alternative media stuff. And it was Slotkin, who is a senator in Michigan, decides to go onto Breaking Points. And I think she thought that this was going to be like one right-leaning guy and one left-leaning girl. And she didn't realize it was just two slopulists. And
they fucking grilled her?
Yeah. Let me see. But it was not even just that they grilled her. It's that, when did they get to Israel?
God.
It's like crazy brutal. Hold on.
General election.
He is the Democratic nominee.
Right. I see. I'm sorry. This is why I'm saying I don't follow New York politics. And I think you'd have to ask them. I don't know. I know that for me, whoever wins the Democratic primary.
Oh, this is like, why isn't everybody endorsed Mamdani? Why didn't they all endorse Mamdani?
In the state of Michigan for the Senate seat that's up, that's who I will endorse, regardless of who it is.
Right, that was my last question. Yeah. So I'm sure it's Chris.
Yeah. So I guess I'm actually a little curious, and forgive me if this is impolite. Like, I'm curious why you wanted to talk to us.
What do you mean?
Well, like, we don't have actually a lot of senators, especially ones who have very different ideology than us, reach out. So I'm curious what your goal was and why you thought to come here.
Well, first of all, I think you have a good audience. I mean, right?
We agree.
If you appeal to like four friends on YouTube or whatever, then I probably wouldn't be here. Mm. But I think to me, part of the problem is that people have kind of gone to their corners. Mm-hmm. And I live this, right? I live on my family farm in a town that voted heavily for Donald Trump. I've never won my town. I've never won my precinct. I've never won my neighbors. We get along, but I never won them, and I probably never will. So to me, I think that the people have gone to their corners, and like people who used to be able to talk about politics and disagree don't even get in the same room together. So I kind of like the idea of your show. Mm-hmm. Like, it was interesting to me when my team pitched me, right? We go through, and like, there's no hiding it. Lots of people are like, how do we evolve in this new space?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's not it's not that that conversation isn't happening. It is. And I think that's good, and to the credit of lots of shows like yours.
Yeah.
But I think your show appealed to me as I was being pitched because you guys don't agree. Mm-hmm. And like, I am very focused. My dad was a lifelong Republican. My mom, a lifelong Democrat. Like, Michiganders want to get back to a place where we can disagree on politics and not have it be so, like, bitter.
So I hear you on the idea of, like, you want to talk about the economics and the unifying and cost of living. And I think that ignores a big elephant in the room, especially when you're talking about even Zohran Mamdani. Mm-hmm. The reason Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer don't want to endorse him is because of his position on Israel. The single most viral clip that he had in that election actually wasn't about cost of living, even though that's what he wanted to make his campaign about. His opponents, Andrew Cuomo in particular, wanted to make it all about accusing him of anti-Semitism and attacking him for his views on Israel and Palestine. Mm-hmm. So the most viral moment from that entire campaign, I believe, was this moment on the debate stage. Guys, this is E1. Let me go ahead and play this for you, and then I want to get your reaction.
Mr. Mamdani.
I would stay in New York City. My plans are to address New Yorkers across the five boroughs and focus on that.
Mr. Mamdani, can I just jump in? Would you visit Israel?
I will be doing as the mayor. I'll be standing up for Jewish New Yorkers, and I'll be meeting them wherever they are across the five boroughs, whether that's in their synagogues and temples or at their homes or at the subway platform, because ultimately we need to focus on delivering on their concerns.
And just yes or no, do you believe in a Jewish state of Israel?
I believe Israel has a right to exist.
Not as a Jewish state?
No, as a state with equal rights.
Now, this was considered very controversial when he said it, and I think the results are in.
Technically no, but kind of yes. I don't know how up on Israel-Palestine he is, but technically when you say, I want the state of Israel to exist as a state with equal rights, that's usually a dog whistle
A two-state solution?
No, that's a one-state solution with an Arab majority. But but I don't think any of the people that were on the stage even realized that that's what he was, what that is supposed to be. It was a fine enough answer. The reality is he's the fucking mayor of New York City. Who the fuck cares? He's not doing foreign policy.
At this point, that he didn't win in spite of his position there. He won in part because of it, including if you listen to Andrew Cuomo's numbers, he won a majority of Jewish voters inside of New York City. And so what I'm curious for your view on is, while, you know, I would love to debate you on your healthcare policy, I think we need Medicare for all, you think public option, your housing policy, etc. I'm just being really real with you.
I want to talk about Israel.
I don't really hear what you say if you are still supporting a genocide in Gaza. And that's for me, you know, I'm speaking for myself, but I know there are millions of other people who feel the same.
So is she a populist,
she's a populist.
Just a slopper, okay.
To cross this sort of moral threshold. And what it indicates to people, and I think part of why, you know, Zoran won so many people in New York City, young people in particular, but Jewish New Yorkers, people across the board, is because it was a sign of, number one, okay, you're focused on New York City first and foremost.
Sure.
Number two, you're willing to take the heat on an issue that is really difficult for you, where you're being overtly smeared as an anti-Semite. And number three, there's no, you know, entrenched interest that's going to control. You have a spine, you have principles, you're willing to stand up for something. And so, you know, I'm curious for your reflections on that because of your voting record and where you've stood on this conflict.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the proudest moments that I had in my last election, where I just won on the same ballot as Donald Trump, was that I won a majority of Jewish voters in Michigan. We have a large Jewish population. And I won Dearborn, Dearborn Heights, and Hamtramck, the three Muslim-dominated cities. Trump won two out of the three. So I think the thing that I would push back on is the voters. Voters vote with their feet, right? We have a moment in an election where they get to decide. And there was no issue that was more difficult for me in this last, I would say, 6 years, but certainly in this last election, other than this issue.
Because remember, Michigan, largest, like, Arab population, I think, in the United States, right? Dearborn is obviously a hot topic, right? So this is, like, the singular most contentious issue that she has to navigate, and this is what they decide we're going to fucking...
Because we're going to fight you on Israel.
Grill the fuck out of
when
her.
When all of your constituents are like,
It's personal. I'm a Middle East analyst by training. And so what I tried to do and why I think I managed to win both those communities is call balls and strikes literally up to this week on what's going on.
So let's talk a little bit more about that.
But I think it's important, right? If you're going to push on me, then I think, like, there's one of us that's had an election and had to appeal to my voters and win. And so it doesn't surprise me at all that Mr. Mamdani won. I didn't know much about him until he won. But because I think this issue is motivating people in a very visceral and personal way.
Yeah.
But it's not the only issue that my voters in Michigan care about.
Of course.
And the online world is extremely, extremely focused on this. But that doesn't always represent the majority. And I think if I can push back, like if you, we're out on the road every day in Michigan when I'm there. In some communities, that issue is the number one issue, 100%. And like, I mean, up till this morning, right?
Like she's giving the best answer she really can. Like, to try to take into account that there are people online that feel strongly about this without totally discounting their opinion, but then pointing out that she did win all of these Muslim majority areas, and like she's navigating well.
She won Israeli areas too. Yeah.
People texting my phone.
Whoa! You mean Jewish? Whoa!
Sorry.
Whoa!
Jewish.
Whoa! And
talking about a plan that we're working on.
No,
but I go
she said Jewish,
outside the Detroit area. It's not in the top 40.
But Senator, it's not just a political issue. It's also a moral issue. Is what I'm trying.
Oh my God.
To get to. So let's talk about those, you know, calling them balls and strikes, if you will. So first of all, do you accept that Israel has a policy of enforced famine and starvation in the Gaza Strip?
Like, back to my notes on like the difference between like a hostile conversation. Like, this isn't a friendly conversation with differences being pointed out. This isn't even an adversarial conversation. This is like a hostile conversation, right?
This is about as bad as you get.
This is like,
she's trying to move on from the topic, and this lady,
or not
is
even
like,
move
right,
on, like she gave a decent answer, and now she wants to ground it out in like a very specific. Like, I need your fucking I need your actual stance on this specific thing that Israel does, and it's like Jesus,
if you will. So, first of all, do you accept that Israel has a policy of enforced famine and starvation in the Gaza Strip?
I think I literally put my name on a letter yesterday or last night that says like a policy of starvation. People are starting to starve, and in general, I mean, I served in places like Ramadi and Fallujah. I watched in 2004 and 2005, Al-Qaeda terrorists drag American citizens behind a vehicle until they died, right? Like horrible, and then string them up like a lynching.
Okay.
we still had a responsibility to get aid into Fallujah, despite the fact that we were fighting Al-Qaeda cells in Fallujah. And I have been clear about that.
So this is a crime against humanity. Forced starvation is a crime against humanity.
The occupying power has a responsibility to get aid into the war zone, period.
So
by the law of war.
So in addition, you accept that the Israeli plan, as reported by Haaretz, as discussed openly by ministers like Ben-Gvir and Smotrich, as backed by the President of the United States, is forced ethnic cleansing?
I think we have, as recently as yesterday, the Prime Minister of Israel talking about forced migration into certain areas and then potentially out of the country. Mm-hmm. That is not legal. That is not on any international standard since World War II. And I've been clear about that. Mm. So I would ask for a little bit of an open mind.
Well, what I would ask is, listen, I'm a YouTuber. You know, I have my words. That's all I have.
Yeah.
But you're a United States senator.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not the president, but you have power. So what are you going to do? Because so far what we've seen, I mean, you voted for some of the aid that's been used to massacre children and innocents.
Jesus.
You know, you have backed Israel, as far as I can tell, you know, from your voting record at almost every turn. You voted for a definition of anti-Semitism that would, you know, codify anti-Zionism as anti-Semitism. You voted as a member of the House to sanction the ICC for indicting Benjamin Netanyahu, who you just admitted is a war criminal, you know, by your own words. So are you going to join Senator Angus King, Senator Bernie Sanders in saying no more aid to this country that is committing war crimes against innocent civilians?
I think the first thing, if you're asking about what to do with power, and I would offer that right now Democrats own nothing in Washington. So
don't say powerless. I'm not with you. You're a United States senator. There are things you can do.
In terms of who?
Not really. There's
what can she do?
Nothing. Nothing. Morally grandstand until you lose your election, which is what all these people want everybody to do. Yeah.
Runs our foreign policy. I just think it's interesting, right? That there was
also when they talk about like voting for weapons to murder children, the way that because there's never a position that you could actually have. There's never a position that you can actually have that's good enough for these people. All the people that voted for any type of defensive weapons for Israel, all of the pro-Pali sloppers, they all say that counts as offensive weapons, because if you vote for defensive weapons, now they can save money on defensive weapons, and now they can invest more on offensive weapons. So any aid whatsoever, they consider basically supporting a genocide. Yeah.
A ton of protests when Democrats were in charge.
There was a protest in Manhattan yesterday.
Okay. I think it's fair to say, just to be honest, that back and forth, like the number of protests that go on now versus before.
Well, they were part of your political coalition.
Well, that's not
true what she just said. Notice how none of you fucking sloppers are protesting the Republican government. Even last week, the protests were against fucking Schumer and Jeffries. It's crazy. And she's super correct to point that out.
I mean, Senator Sorkin,
that's fair.
Obviously, I'm here.
Yeah.
I was very upset over the Biden administration policy.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can tell, I'm very upset over the Trump administration policy.
Yeah.
So let's deal not in Strawman, but me and
the Democrat.
So the tools that I have, the tools that we have in general. To me, the most important thing is a pressurized campaign to get aid into people who are starving. That, to me, is the number one, because that's the one is urgent and today.
Mm.
And
But will you cut off aid to Israel so long as they're committing crimes against humanity?
There is a difference between a weapon to protect a country from incoming missiles versus other type. Offensive and defensive weapons are different.
So would you support offensive weapons ban? Like, would you stop any offensive aid to Israel?
That certainly, to me, would be a place to look, but I'm not going to cut off a blanket next sale on a defensive weapon
that
comes through.
I also reject that because, for example, if, Senator Sorkin, if you were asked to support defensive weapons for Iran, defensive weapons for Russia, you wouldn't back that.
Well, Iran and Russia are our enemies. So, I mean, like, yeah, we probably wouldn't support that.
No, but Iran, I mean, but
they're defensive. They're just protecting civilians, right?
Right.
So how is it different?
But because Israel being shot at. I mean,
so is
Iran. Yeah. So is Russia.
Ukraine shooting at Russia right now.
I'm sorry. This is the difference between allies, partners, and adversaries.
Why is it an ally then? What are they doing right now which makes it an ally?
I think allied relationships, just like Lithuania right now, like an allied relationship or a partner relationship is a longstanding relationship of information sharing and diplomacy. And that is, to me, it's not a like every day we decide Lithuania is our ally or not. We're allied or not. And sometimes we have big breaks with allies, right? Sometimes we have difficult moments with allies. Sometimes it goes the wrong way with allies. But an allied relationship is a long-term relationship.
It's hard for me to understand why we should ally. Like, I'm sure you believe in, like, or claim to believe in liberal human rights. Why would we ally with a nation that is committing a genocide and live streaming it?
So can I ask literally, like, this? I think about this from the mirror image way, because I do not support the things that Donald Trump is doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm an American. So do I want other countries to look at America and be like, we can't stand Donald Trump, so we're going to end any longstanding relationship we have with the American people, we're going to cut off any support we give them on information sharing or intelligence sharing. Like, we are not just our elected leaders. And I think that's the thing that's been lost.
So B'Tselem and another Israeli human rights organization joined the Global Consensus Amnesty International, some 800 scholars. There was a piece from an Israeli scholar in the New York Times in saying this is a genocide. Do you accept, even Marjorie Taylor Greene yesterday came out and said it's a genocide.
Yes or no?
Do you accept that? And if you do, what responsibility does a United States senator have? For this is a nation that, you know, we send every year billions of dollars to aid that you have, you know, voted for and supported. Like, what responsibility does a United States senator have to prevent genocide and to stop genocide that we see ongoing?
We have a responsibility up till today to ensure that food is getting in.
Is it
so
a genocide?
People don't starve. I don't know that I'd use that term.
Why?
But it is using the
Like,
it is violating the law of war.
Why don't you use the term, though?
Because I think, you know, it's to me, if it is, if do I think it's ethnic cleansing? Which is what I think of in genocide. I don't know if it meets that definition. They're announcing
Didn't you say it earlier that it was ethnic cleansing? You said that they wanted to force. I mean, this is open from the Israeli government.
These people are crazy.
The Minister of National Security. They come out and they're like, "We don't need shells. We need shells, not food, and we need to encourage migration."
You're not going to get me to support what the Israeli government is saying right now. I think the point I was trying to make is it's not just.
It doesn't matter if you support it or not. What matters is you got to use the right words and the right vernacular and the right like cool, hip, trendy things. Like that's the only thing
you
that matters.
Say XYZ. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so fucking.
I don't think I've seen a harder interview.
Yeah. It's like this is crazy. Yeah.
All right, so back to, is this a genocide, yes or no?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
About, like, we have relationships with nations over time, regardless of who their leaders are. We have really tough moments, we have easier moments, but that doesn't, I'm not willing to say that, like, I hate everything ever.
Sure, but so even if you accept that they're committing a genocide, you still wouldn't cut off their aid?
I think that defensive aid and offensive aid are different things, and I think at this point,
so if Nazi Germany, said we want defensive aid, I mean, it's just you have to see where they're all weapons that are being shipped.
In another context, the weapons that they're using right now, I mean, to be honest, if you look at what's happening on the ground, the military part of this conflict is for the most part over. What they are doing, every single day is around aid. They are hurting people.
They have slaughtered over 1,000 people who were starving people, just trying to get aid.
That is not high intensity bombs. That's not the weapons that that we were talking about 2 years ago. It's just not. I'm sorry. Every single day, the military reports that I read, they are traditional, like, this is a military that has a bad strategy. It is not the bombs that we were seeing 2 years ago.
It's not a military that has a bad strategy. The strategy is forced starvation.
That is not their
strategy. And they're accomplishing it very effectively with the full backing of the United States government, including, sadly, Democrats. Well, and so a couple more questions that I know you have to run. You know, I'm curious why you condemned Rashida Tlaib for using the rally chant, you know, from the river to the sea, something she said for her evokes equal rights. Yeah. And you have not condemned Randy Fine, who said that Gazans should, quote, starve away, who floated that the Gaza Strip should be nuked, who called Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and Soran as well, called them Muslim terrorists. Where is the concern over him?
I have no problem condemning Randy Fine, who I don't know. I don't know who that person is. I have no problem condemning someone who talks like that.
Senator, we have to ask your last question because your staff is telling us. Do you think AIPAC should register as a foreign lobby?
Yeah, this is we need to get out of here.
I don't know the answer to that. I think that I know plenty of people who think they should. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't.
It's kind of a cop-out answer, don't you think?
I just guess I'd have to look at the definition. I certainly have had my tough moments with that organization. Mm. And
so you stop accepting their funding?
You gotta get your facts straight. I have not been endorsed by AIPAC. I have not. I'm sorry. I was the first Jew elected to the Senate that was not endorsed by any Jewish group. AIPAC, J Street.
You've been the recipient of their funds.
In 2018, when I first ran, people who were members, yes. But I've not been endorsed since then. And I just got to be honest. Like, I think that this is where facts really matter. I've had very, very difficult conversations with my colleagues in that organization and made a choice back in 2021. 2021, so that was the first time I was up for re-election. So I understand that there's a sort of, like, again, cornered position, but to me, like, I call balls and strikes as someone who served in the Middle East.
I do. I have one more question I have to ask you. You know, we do the show. I really do my best to try to uphold, like, you know, basic human rights, Palestinian humanity, oppose the killing of innocent civilians wherever that happens.
Good for you.
And I have to tell you, like, I feel really guilty that I'm not doing enough. I think all the time about, I'm a mom, I think all the time about those moms who can't feed their babies. Mm-hmm. Those babies are starving to death. And I just want to know, like, you're a United States Senator. You did vote for some of the bombs that were dropped on refugee camps. When kids have been sniped in the head. Firebombed. People set on fire. The entire Gaza Strip turned into rubble. And now we're seeing these emaciated bodies of babies starving to death every day. And Does it eat you up? Do you think, what more can I do? Do you regret any of your votes?
I regret any of what I was working on this morning. A group of Jewish rabbis and Muslim community leaders came together with a proposal that we are working on just getting, like, if we can't get other aid in, at least get baby formula and nutritional supplements for children in. Let that be kind of a...
She doesn't give a fuck. The tears are performative. She doesn't give a fuck about the people. You just have to have the right position. She doesn't care about the fucking aid or starvation. You just have to have the right... It's got to be the most purity-tested position. That's the only thing that fucking matters.
Green light, never has a problem. No one's trying to eat baby formula other than a baby, right? That is the proposal that I've been working on all night and this morning. So in terms of what we're trying to do, there's not a moment that goes by that this isn't something that I'm working on and something that my own community, not online, but my own community has practical things that they want to do. They're willing to raise the money. They're willing to buy the formula. They're willing to do whatever we need to do to get it shipped in. That's how I spend my time.
But you're not willing to cut off aid to Israel.
To me, the most effective thing that I can do today.
This is a subtle question. Your staff is telling us you absolutely have to go. So we appreciate your time. Thank you very much for coming.
Senator,
thank you very much. Okay. Thank you guys so much for watching.
Anyway, okay. So that's the interview. Anyway, this is
okay. These people are never getting another interview.
Yeah, it was a crazy hostile interview. Also, I like the fact that it perfectly demonstrated my complaint the entire time about, like, what it's like to be a liberal and then what it's like to be on the right and go to do interviews. People are like, oh, why didn't we go on Joe Rogan? Why didn't we do this? And in the past, you can even find a year plus ago clips of me saying, well, the problem is, like, you're a liberal, you go on these shows. not only are you going to have an adversarial interview with a conservative, you're going to be getting shit on by all the other conservatives, and then the left is going to be attacking you too, right? And then that's exactly basically what happened here. Like, what was the point of even going on? This is supposed to be either a both sides show or whatever. Most of the questions came from Crystal. This was a hostile, adversarial, hostile interview. It was about as hostile as it could possibly be.
One more question. What does populist like actually mean? I assume it's just like people who go over like popular interviews.
No. Popular topics. So populism is the idea that it's a very broad term, but like basically it's the idea that there is some kind of broad, unseeable enemy, and some person is going to deliver you from that broad, unseeable enemy. So people are usually blaming, like, people that talk a lot about, like, the elites, the elite class, the Jews, like billionaires. It's also usually anti-establishment. Like, the establishment has allowed these people to run amok, and they failed you. And so we're going to fight against the establishment. We're going to fight against the billionaires, the donor class, the political elites, the Epstein class. It's all of these things.
Okay, so this is what Trump kind of ran on.
Yes, 100%.
We would say populism. Yeah. Okay.
But the issue with populism...
It's like, we're going to fight XYZ...
Yeah, and I'm the person who's going to do it. Yeah. The issue with populism is oftentimes, one, it doesn't properly analyze the problems almost ever. But the issue from that, that stems naturally from that, is that, two, they don't usually offer good solutions to anything either. So because populists don't identify the correct problems, they come in offering super broad solutions that aren't even possible to implement. And even if they were, they wouldn't solve anything. So it always fails. It always falls apart. Populist regimes never work out because they're always overpromising, underdelivering, and then making people just ass paint as fuck about like, literally everything. It's just, it's like the lowest form of like political theater, ideology, internet, pop, politics, whatever. It's just, I mean, it existed before the internet, but it's so...
Okay. So it's pretty much like we have an enemy and we have to go after them. They're the reason for all of our issues and we need to win. And we're going to win. Okay. Yeah. And Bernie, you would say Bernie was a populist as well because he reversed, not the Jews or whatever, but like the business class.
Sure. Although like Bernie was definitely a populist. He did a bit better, though, than the average populist because he usually had actionable. I would say that Bernie, if I was going to super.
Like Medicare
the nuance,
for all?
I would say that Bernie used populist rhetoric. But I think in policy practice, I don't know if I would say that Bernie is the same type of populist because he had a lot of experience, obviously, in the Senate. He had specific policy goals and recommendations that weren't just demonizing the fuck out of everybody that was in the elite class and everything else. Although that was a lot of the rhetoric he used, but at least he had actionable policies to talk about. But
okay, yeah, that makes sense.
I felt like she was remarkably composed. There was really only one moment where she let the guard down, literally for like a half second, where she gave Crystal kind of like a sideways glance, literally like a sideways glance. But they were pressing her and asking her questions, and she was answering their questions. And then basically every time she started to answer their questions, they would cut her off, not address what she had just said, and then deflect to some other question.
True.
And some of the questions that they were asking her, I'm sorry, were fucking ridiculous. Like this gotcha question that Crystal asked, where she said, oh, you support, you know, providing Iron Dome to Israel? Why wouldn't you also support giving it to Iran and Russia to help protect their civilians, as if there's not like five immediate non-starters for why we would never give Iran and Russia the Iron Dome.
But you're attacking the silly
question.
Question unfair?
Kind of. Wait, is the question unfair, or is you just disagree
the
with
question is
with her
ridiculous.
Answer?
The
wait,
question
in
is
virtue of what is
Iran
ridiculous?
And Russia
you
literally
tell me, peace.
Supply fucking terrorist organizations that are
it's just totally
interests.
Different in kind. It's a weird.
Which they would just give it to them. Yeah, it's fucking retarded.
It's a very weird gotcha question.
Can you think of any reason why we wouldn't give Iran and Russia the Iron Dome?
100%. But are you just saying that the question is unfair because it's obvious what the answer is, and so you shouldn't ask?
I didn't say.
I thought you said it was unfair.
I said it's a silly question. It's really profoundly silly question.
I think the way she answered the silly question was not nearly so optically good as she could have. Like it looked like she's on the back foot where the answer should be a simple, like, hey, we have...
Also, just... God, fuck. This is such a good interview. Actually, this whole thing is going to be really good. The reason why the entire media apparatus right now is obsessed with all of these feel-good interviews where all you do is you yes-end each other, you never push each other, you never challenge each other ever. It's because you always look good in these shows. Every single fucking time. You always, always, always look good. You always look good. And you're seeing right now, well, if you do an adversarial conversation, of which I do think people should do more of, I think political people should always be held to the standard of doing this. And people that comment on politics especially should be held to the standard of doing this. But this is why people don't. Because that was an incredibly hostile interview. It was incredibly challenging. Keep in mind that she has everything staked against somebody who has nothing fighting at stake. She's a U.S. senator that's going to be fighting for re-election in a district of many types of people. And Crystal Ball is just a sloppy list who can say whatever retarded shit she wants in her program with absolutely zero pushback at all, because who the fuck cares, right? And now you've got these people who are digging through, did Slotkin give the optically correct answer when she was being grilled on whether or not we should give defensive aid to enemies of the United States of America? Like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like, what a crazy thing to be evaluated on. Like, people like Republicans could just never put themselves in these positions. And people on the far left will never put themselves. Yeah, and yeah. Neither people on the far left. They will never have this type of conversation about, like, Hassan or about any, like, super far left person, because they never put themselves in these positions. They won't go on adversarial platforms ever.
And to be fair, it doesn't seem like the Slotkin lady knew that she was going on a quote, like, a very adversarial platform either.
Yeah, I don't know what her staffers told her or what information she had, but yeah. I definitely don't think that she was expecting it to be like that, would be my guess. Yeah.
And we have adversaries, and I'm just saying, I'm not so confident she could perform well on a presidential.
So is that a layup question then, Hutch, if it's so obvious?
It's a layup if you're not a politician and you don't need to worry about being composed, because you...
Oh, holy shit! Me and Hutch are fucking mind-melded, dude.
Would just look at Crystal with a silly face and be like, what the fuck are you talking about? But she had to, like, pause, compose herself, and then explain really basic concepts like adversaries versus allies. Like, we would never in a million years...
I think Crystal's question is sort of questioning that Israel... It should be an ally of America as it's currently operating.
Then ask that question. Just get to that question.
Get that point. But there's a better way to do that.
Yeah.
Then.
Yes. I need a mind meld soundboard effect.
And they eventually did get to that question. And they started to kind of dive into what that is. But they're asking questions like, what do we get out of a relationship with Israel? Which is like, I mean, they cover geopolitics for a living. They should understand that, like, you can have a moral opposition to our... like being allied with Israel. I'm fine with questioning.
Wait, so what's wrong with the question then? If it's like easy to answer and it's like, well, Israel's our ally. And
he didn't say it was easy to answer. He said it was easy to answer if you have nothing at stake. I don't know why he only hears like half the question sometimes, or he's like selectively ignoring things.
Could be our ally. What's wrong? Why is it like a gotcha question? Why is the question wrong if there's just a very easy answer to it? Is it because Democrats shouldn't be questioned on Israel?
Please go.
Like, and that's crazy to obtusely jump to such an insane, like, do you think that that's what Hutch is going to say? Like, yes, I think that Democrats should never have to answer questions on Israel. Jesus.
Oh, that's not what I'm saying. You can question her on Israel, but when you ask, why would you, you know, like, if it's about protecting civilians, why not give it to Iran? Well, like, if this is a highly top secret classified weapon system and we give it to Iran, they could theoretically repurpose it and make it redundant. It's just like, that is just like immediately that's where your mind should go.
But why shouldn't the Iron Dome
doesn't work for anyone. So like, why would we ever consider, like, if you want to make the point that we should,
I think there's better answers to this, but it's okay, I guess.
We should question our relationship with Israel. That's fine. But
I'm just saying, like, why is it a gotcha question if it's like a very, very simple, easy answer and obvious? Like, what's wrong with the question?
Like, imagine if she were to ask the question. Okay, so just curious, you've said a lot of things about laws in the United States, and, you know, I've noticed that you claim to care about children. Do you really think there's a difference between a child who's 17 years and 364 days and 18 years old? Do you think there's a, like, and it's like, well, shouldn't that
What's
be a layup question? And it's like, Jesus Christ, like, why? What the fuck? What the fuck kind of question is that? Holy shit. Like, how do you, like, it's such a stupid thing. It's like, well, if it's an easy question to answer, shouldn't it be like, Jesus.
I don't think it was simple or obvious to, like, Crystal. I think she legitimately thought that it was a slam dunk gotcha question.
Yes, it was. That is what she thought, obviously.
Couldn't, like, figure her way out of. But Slotkin, like, literally...
Wait, can I go on the rift right now? I should be able to, right?
Pause, composed herself, and said, we have allies, we have adversaries, and we have strategic partners. And she had to, like, explain this dynamic, which is just really... This is, like, really basic level geopolitical stuff.
Well, if it's really basic, why is it a problem? Like, if someone asks me a really basic question, like, look at Pete Buttigieg, right? Pete Buttigieg gets a really basic fucking question about inflation, or is like...
Hold on. Let me check real quick. So I want to say something retarded. Pete is not currently holding any office right now, is he? Did he run again for...
Pisco? No, he is not.
What?
He's not holding any office.
Did you say Pisco?
Mm-hmm.
No, I said Pete Buttigieg.
Okay. Well, I'm saying Pisco isn't a problem.
True. Pisco's not true. Is Pete planning on running again for like mayor or something? I don't know. Pete's not a currently elected official. Pete has a ton of flexibility to go around and do a ton of these podcasts and be on a ton of adversarial platforms and answer questions with a whole host of, like, flexible strategies that are not really available to a sitting U.S. senator, it's a totally different thing.
Like, look at Pete Buttigieg, right? Yeah. Pete Buttigieg gets a really basic fucking question about inflation or is like with this guy on this, whatever. I don't even know what news I think it was. And he makes a really simple set of like parameters.
Like at that point in time, who is Pete's constituency, right? It's like the people who are watching the program. That's his audience. Whereas Slotkin has to answer questions, trying to appeal to the audience of Breaking Points, while also trying to appeal like broadly to the U.S. left Democratic Party, kind of, while also appealing to the constituents back in Michigan, in her home state, and then make sure that she's not like closing off future potential avenues for work or talking to future constituents, whatever. Like, it's just, there's a lot more of a calculation going on there than Pete, who I guess maybe is running in 2028. It's a totally different type of mental math that's going on per question here.
Make the other guy look like a fucking idiot. I'm just like asking, like, why is that a problem? If it's such a loaded question or a question that's like requires just a basic distillation of shit, why can't she use it to stunt on Crystal?
Yeah, and Hutch, really quick, because I want to give an example of what Pete was talking about. Like, have you seen like Bernie Sanders on like Sacha Baron Cohen's like Who Is America?
It's been a while. That show is crazy.
He's playing this like obese like Southern dipshit, and he's like, why don't we put the 99% and put them in the 1%? And Bernie is like, but that's not how math works. Like, you know, he doesn't pause. Like, optically, this looks not bad for Bernie. Like, he tries to make Bernie look stupid, and he's like, you're like, essentially, you're fucking stupid without saying it. And Slotkin, I think, tried to do that. But like, what I'm saying is, rhetorically and optically, I don't think her answer looked good, even if she had the right idea. And that's,
I think you're falling.
What was she supposed to say? What did they not like about the answer? I don't know.
Victim to this. Sorry, you haven't spoken in a while.
What are you
going
to say when somebody's like, well, why don't we give weapons to Iran and Russia?
I just wanted to say that personally, I want both teams to lose. So like, I think that number one, going on Breaking Points is kind of like a Guantanamo Bay torture tactic, like that you can use against anyone. And so seeing our political class have to deal with that program, I mean, watching them interview Kat was like watching like two monkeys trying to like build a car. It was an impossible. It was just complete fucking mess. I can't watch Breaking Points with
this. Is Kat Abugazella out of Illinois, who ran for the 9th district, right?
Yeah, out of Illinois. Just like the questions they asked, or when I hear like Crystal just make shit up about wars. Like, it's like she's just like winging it. Like, when we gave Ukraine all the jets, we never gave Ukraine jets. That's why they invaded Kurds. Just like random stuff. So I don't like them, but also I do want the political class to be put in front of bad shows and bad programs to deal with bad questions. If you're going to run for president of the United States, you're going to be in a room eventually where you're going to have some Fox News.
Just to be clear, that's not true, though, right now. It's just not true. Donald Trump, what were the tough rooms that Donald Trump was in when he was running for president? Was there a single one for 2024? A single tough room? A single tough interview? Was there
you
one?
You could argue the debate, but that's like it. Like, there's no interview.
I don't think
Oh, true. I guess he did do a debate with Kamala. Like, anything else? He skipped his debates, by the way, with the other Republicans. He skipped the ones. He didn't do any with DeSantis or with Nikki Haley.
He did, didn't he? I thought he did a Nikki Haley debate.
No.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Definitely not.
Oh, they never did.
No, which is funny because these are the guys who always say, like, Democrats didn't even have a real primary. You guys didn't have a real primary. And it's like, Donald Trump literally skipped all of your debates. You guys didn't even really have a primary, but...
Maybe I'm just thinking of the primary that they had and he just wasn't there.
Yeah, it's just cringe. And he skipped a second debate with Kamala. Yeah. Just cringe.
Knuckle dragger come in and say, like, if you support women, why don't you want to deport the migrant rapists? Like, you're gonna get
yes.
that type of stuff. And but so she, I do think...
My 100%. My argument is that she did. She answered the question just fine. Like, she didn't lose her shit. She didn't get triggered. She wasn't.
So what's the problem?
She wasn't treating it like, Pisco, what are you doing with me right now? Do you agree that that was a stupid question or not?
I'm not sure. Wait. It's a stupid question. If she's trying to get at.
To ask why, well,
no,
why we don't give Iran.
What do you mean by question?
Holy shit. Whoa. I just got fucking blown the fuck away. True. Oh, my God. We just got the. Hold on. Kick Chat just had the truest fucking message that of all of 2026.
What'd they say?
Oh, my God. Compare the way that Pisco reacted to people saying that AOC kind of flubbed her answer when she was at that world whatever thing answering questions about global security, and she flubbed an answer on, I don't remember what it was. It was when she shouldn't have flubbed, but I don't think it was that big of a deal. But when Hutch even suggested that her answer was not perfect here, Pisco lost his fucking mind. It was like he saw blood. He went crazy. He's like, why the fuck does she have to know every fucking thing about Taiwan? He fucking lost it. It was crazy. I was like, there's no way this is as bad as the subreddit is making it sound like. That's just it. Yeah. Jesus. Okay.
Fucking the Iron Dome.
The reason why I don't think it's a stupid question, I'm going to explain why, is because it's clear that what she's really getting at is questioning the notion that Iran is an ally and that they should be treated as an enemy. And so it's, I don't really Israel. Feel like there could be like a very easy, what did I say? Iran?
Iran, but
Israel. Yeah. My bad. Wait, Israel.
Hello.
Hey, can you hear me?
We're only like 10 minutes through this, so what's up?
I'll be quick. Okay, first, those little smiley faces you put after every message are the most passive aggressive thing I've ever seen.
It's not passive aggressive. It's to show you that I'm not mad.
If you do, so if you do one more, I can. I'm literally watching you on stream. I know you're not smiling, so I know.
It's well, I'm digitally smiling. Look, do you think when I type Limeo, do you think I'm actually laughing my ass off every time?
You have to be, otherwise you're disingenuous and you're a liar. And I'm gonna start self harming if you keep doing it.
Jesus Christ!
Okay, real quick.
Yeah. What's up?
I'm gonna share, just like, to be clear. I don't necessarily agree with Pisco on this. Uh-huh. But if you go, do you have the interview open? I can screen share if you don't.
Slack in one?
No, but we literally just rewatched it just to refresh our brains on it.
Okay, but like I want to refresh like a specific moment to like 10 seconds of it just to show like this is what's frustrating about this as someone who can say, look at it and say, look, if you agree or disagree with this person, I don't think this is good. And I just want to like exemplify that. But here, I'll share it. Let me know if you can see me.
Yep.
All right, so
anti-Semitism. You voted as a member of the House.
To be clear, they're asking gotcha annoying fucking questions. I'm fully in acknowledgement of this, and I think Crystal and Sagar can be fucking, especially Sagar, are hacks. But
you sanction the ICC for indicting Benjamin Netanyahu, who you just admitted is a war criminal, you know, by your own words. So, are you going to join Senator Angus King, Senator Bernie Sanders, in saying no more aid to this country that is committing war crimes against innocent civilians?
Okay, so what's the question? You think there are senators that have done this, are you going to do it too, right? Who cares if it's a gotcha? Like, how would you answer this question if you think
the reason
it's a
gotcha? Why it's impossible to this is the reason why it's impossible to answer this question is because Crystal is a fucking idiot, unfortunately. But it's because what she's done is she's taken a moral good and she's put it behind a policy that she's led people to believe would effect that moral good, but it would probably do just the opposite. And then she's asking Slotkin to commit to the stupid policy that won't get the moral good done, while Slotkin is an actual senator and has actual policy positions at risk with actual constituents in an actual Congress.
Okay, wait.
That she has to work. So, for instance, wait. So, like,
wait,
the question. Yeah. So the question is like, what do we do to help the Palestinians? And Crystal has posed the question as though if we just cut off all aid to Israel, that'll help the Palestinians. But that's just not true. It wouldn't, right? And she kind of, I believe in her answer, she basically speaks to this. She's like, I think the major war fighting is kind of done. It's not like Israel's there bombing every day now. Like, the major thing now is to try to get aid into the Gaza Strip. I don't think cutting off defensive weapons or cutting off offensive weapons or anything else to Israel is going to do anything to facilitate more food going to the Palestinians. This is basically what she says.
She might say that at a different point. I don't think she says that right here, but I agree with you. And it's like, okay, if you gave that answer, I think that would look great. And what I think her answer is like a little dodgy and makes her look bad. Because if you just said, hey, like, I understand what you're doing. You're saying, why can't we hold this over their heads? Won't this stop the killing? My understanding is that not only will it not, but we can do different things right now that will directly help the Palestinian people. And I think you have a misunderstanding of the framing. I think that would be an amazing answer. I think that would make her look good.
Okay, we can listen to how she answers. Yeah, because I feel like
I think
more
what she does here is like not optically great.
I think the first thing, if you're asking about what to do with power, and I would offer that right now Democrats own nothing in Washington. So
don't play powerless with me. Not with me. You're a United States senator. There are things you can do.
I acknowledge, obviously, Democrats are not fucking in power. We don't have Senate majority. We can't do like fucking Green Lantern theory.
Sure.
But that already seems, leading off with this seems a little dodgy to me. Like the answer you gave, the answer I tried to summarize.
Sure,
better,
she leads
right?
off with that. Sure, like, she does lead off with that because they're talking about legislations. Like, will you join Bernie right. Sanders? Like, I'm so sorry, but these were the forced to vote people. Like, eat shit and die.
Oh, sure.
Like
yeah.
this idea of virtue signaling on legislation that isn't even going to make it to the Senate floor, let alone die on the Senate floor, let alone get no support in the House, let alone would be vetoed by the president. Like, it's just such a stupid. Like, will you please support my legislation that's not ever going to fucking leave the fucking Twitter desk of fucking Bernie Sanders? It's such
a
boring.
You. But that's the thing.
So
is, like,
I think it's okay to answer
I think
to start off.
She can say that too.
Well,
she can say
she does,
first of all,
by saying,
I don't think that will help. Right.
Well, no, because that's a weak answer. You would say, doesn't think it'll help. Doesn't think it'll help. How? With the answer right here is Democrats don't have any power right now. They don't. They literally can't. Whatever Bernie said. I guess you could have explained the legislative process more.
That's what I'm saying. Is like again, I'm not even disagreeing with any of what she is trying to say here. I think this looks bad. That was my whole thing of bringing this up on the show. Is like this looks like someone doing dodgy politician platitude stuff and not like. And I'm gonna right after this, I'm gonna show you like 60 seconds of Bill Clinton on. Have you seen Bill Clinton talk to Chris Wallace on Fox like in the 90s?
No.
Okay, I'll show you this like right after, but like I'll keep it going a little bit.
Who runs our foreign policy? I just think it's interesting, right? That there was
like it's interesting, and it's like okay, like already this is like kind of the Gavin Newsom thing, where it's like please address the question.
Ton of protests when Democrats were in charge.
There was a protest in Manhattan yesterday.
And now she's talking about again very legitimate criticism. Where the fuck are all the Palestinian protesters protesting against Trump? Protesting against the people in power?
I'm sorry, but, like, hold on. Kaylin was just crying that Slotkin or like Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer weren't quick enough to endorse in the primaries like a mayor for New York City, and she's going to take issue with the fact that Slotkin is rightfully pointing out that one, the Democrats were not given any power in Congress, and then two, there are still anti-Palestinian or anti-Israel protests going on. But they're still targeting Democrats, which was true 7 months ago. It was true last week in New York City. I think it's a totally fair thing to point out.
No. I again, that's why it was super frustrating because people think I'm like disagreeing with Slotkin here. It's like, no, everything she's saying is right. I think this looks bad when you have a specific say, hey, why aren't you doing the thing that Bernie Sanders and Angus King are doing? And you and I can look at that and say, hey, this is why that's not helpful. This is why I think you have a poor context on it. This is the material things that we can be doing. And instead, it looks like she's trying to dodge it, deflect blame. Like, I think this looks bad.
I guess you could say that, but like you understand that like this type of thought is why we live in the media environment we do now. Where nobody on the right will go on adversarial platforms and nobody on the far left will go on adversarial platforms. Like, why would you ever subject yourself to this level of hardcore scrutiny when not giving the perfect answer to the most hostile interviewer possible is like putting you in a rough position because you like it's like this is an impossible.
Well, I'm not even saying like, oh, this is why I don't like Slotkin. This is like I don't think she can handle being on the national
no
stage,
one can handle
run
this
for
though
president.
What do you mean
okay
can run for president?
All right, perfect transition. Can you see the Fox News tab right now?
Sure, but wait, when you say no one can handle this on the national stage, Trump wasn't in any of these spaces.
Okay,
he won the presidency, right? So it seems like you can run for president and win the presidency without going into super adversarial spaces. That seems to be the case. No,
if she's going to go into these spaces, which she did, I don't know if she knew about this going ahead of time, she has to acknowledge that if you can't come out of this looking like you came out on top, I think that's going to be bad for your electoral chances. Versus,
well,
it
won't. No, what was bad for
what
was bad for the electoral chances was going that space. She shouldn't be talking to people like that ever. That because it's a loser.
Sure, yeah,
like,
and if that's the strategy
ever.
Is like just don't go on these fuckheads like shows. Sure, but if you are like Trump's thing is either I'm never going to do it, and if I do, I'm just going to deflect, and posture, and my base will eat it up. Like that's going to work. But I think you can go on these spaces. But if you have to be like what I think Bill Clinton does in like these sort of situations, I'm going to play this real quick.
Okay, before he says this, just so that it was telling I'm coping or whatever, right? So I don't know the year of this. Okay, but one, Bill Clinton had much better.
At least 20 years ago.
Sure. Well, but the year is important because one, Bill Clinton staked a lot of his reputation on Israel-Palestine. It was a huge part of his administration. Remember, he like threw the whole last year into the Camp David stuff, trying to get a final peace agreement. There was the whole Clinton parameters that led to the top of stuff. He threw so much into this. He, I think, arguably did a lot to help the Good Friday Agreement or whatever for the Irish people. Like Bill Clinton has had a huge involvement in foreign politics, has a huge personal stake investment in Israel-Palestine, knew the situation a lot more, and might be, by the time this interview is happening, a lame duck president. So like,
oh, this isn't even like about Israel-Palestine, to be clear. This is Bill Clinton in an adversarial, like super fucking gotcha interview. And like, I think if you're going to be able to go on these shows and you can't do this, I don't think you should go on the shows, which I guess we agree on. And two, like, I think it's fair to say that this is just a better performance than Slotkin in general. And you can tell me when to stop it.
Okay.
Talk about it.
But the question is, why didn't you do more, connect the dots and put him out of business?
All right, let's talk.
He's talking about bin Laden.
I'll answer all those things on merits, but first I want to talk about the context in which this arises. I'm being asked this on the Fox network. ABC just had a right-wing conservative running their little pathway to 9/11, falsely claiming it was based on the 9/11 Commission report, with three things asserted against me directly contradicted by the 9/11 Commission report. And I think it's very interesting that all the conservative Republicans who now say I didn't do enough claim that I was too obsessed with bin Laden. All of President Bush's neocons
thought I was
too obsessed with bin Laden.
There's no way that I can prove this, but one... Okay, wait. So this sounds like this was after he was already out of office, right?
Yeah, this is post.
Sure. So there's a couple things going on here. So one, we're on Fox News, so he knows this is an adversarial interview. So the tone can already be quite a bit different, number one. Number two, I can't prove this, but I feel like if we were to hindsight this a different way, that you could give the exact same analysis to this that you would give. Because what did Slotkin say? That you didn't give the Democrats any power. What did Clinton say? Well, you guys lied about this thing here and you were being politically partisan. Like, I'm on Fox News, so this isn't fair. Like, I feel like somebody like you would argue the exact same thing, that he's crying and complaining too much.
On paper, they're very close. I think the problem is that he is able to say, all right, follow me here. Let's first go through this. Let's contextualize why you're asking me this question. What's wrong with the question? Why this is unfair? And why you would never ask this of someone else? And I don't think Slotkin was able to do that. I think Slotkin kind of like,
But there's also the different thing here in that Crystal Ball and all of the lefties right now can hide behind the lay genocide thing, right? Like, she can't ask that same question because Crystal is going to do more fake tears and be like, it's because it's a genocide. And that, now you're fucked. What are you going to say? You don't care about a genocide? Like, the virtue signal on this issue is so much ramped up that I don't know how you could possibly navigate this with the same level of, I guess, ferocity that Bill Clinton can navigate.
Composure,
this.
Or ferocity. Well, you can, right?
I'm not running for office, and I don't hold office in a super contested area. So I can remember Dearborn, Michigan. There's a Senate race this year. She's fighting for her life on a swing state, right? She's in a way different position than I am. And also, if you want to compare to me, everybody calls me a fucking Nazi on Israel-Palestine, that I'm super pro, IDF pro genocide.
No, it's not about the position. It's about the fact that you're able to navigate these conversations without taking the virtue signal or the moral grandstanding and being put on the back foot and look shaky. And I think Slotkin wasn't able to. And this was all in the context of, hey, Slotkin might run for president. And I'm like, I don't know, in this interview where she had some adversarial, you know, questions, which she will have. She's going to have those on the path to presidency.
I understand. I understand what you're saying. And I can do that. And I can do it better than any Democratic politician in the United States, because I'm not running for anything and I'm not holding office. I have the flexibility to say whatever the fuck I want.
Yes.
I
can
say
exactly.
Well, but then it's different. You can't evaluate the optics there in the same way. Like,
well, the problem is, and I, it's not like I don't understand this, when you are in these positions and you have these, you know, constituencies to worry about, you have lobbying groups to worry about, it's like, who am I going to anger? What if I said the wrong thing? What if I'm clipped? Like, that is I don't think she's like a shaky, unconfident person, right? There's reasons why she looks like this. And I'm saying the politicians who are able to do that in such a way that doesn't sell as this like platitude generating inauthenticity are the ones who are going to excel if they are going to go in these spaces.
Sure.
And that's all I'm worried about.
I understand what you're saying.
Has it down yet.
I understand what you're saying, but I would say that this particular issue, by design, it's impossible to do that on. You can't take a conversation from a far left person on this topic, because you can never give enough on it. You'll always be called pro-genocide or whatever, unless your position is literally the complete and total severing of ties from Israel in every single conceivable way, and possibly supporting sanctions and military action against him to remove that administration. Like, that's the position you have to take, which is so far out of step with even the average American's position, even the average Democrat's position. So it's like, it's a loser.
You're always going to move, yeah.
Okay.
But don't get me wrong. Last thing I'll say, and then I'll head out. But like, would you agree that if you went on there, and if Slotkin goes on there, they ask this question, and she says, I think what you're suggesting is not going to materially help because XYZ, what I'm trying to do right now is this. This is the best way, in my view, to get aid to the Palestinian people right now. Otherwise, everything else is immaterial because we don't have power. And if you disagree on that, then you're missing the forest for the trees. And then they go, genocide, boo-hoo-hoo, like, oh, you're just killing kids, you don't care. Does she not come out on top by clearly laying out why they're logically wrong and they just grandstand?
I guess I would have to think about it, because I feel like that was basically her answer, and I feel like that's basically what Crystal Ball did. Is she basically explained, maybe a bit nicer, but that right now the major war fighting is stopped, that defensive weapons aren't the same as offensive weapons, and the biggest thing right now is getting aid to the Palestinians. And then Crystal started crying about dead children, was like, don't you feel bad about voting for defensive weapons? And it's like, okay, So I, but
yeah,
I don't know.
The points are there. I think the connective tissue and the optics just don't look good for her. And I think, yeah, someone like you or anyone else who's able to like really boil this down in a concise and, you know, contextualized manner and show, hey, what you're doing right now is a gotcha. Let's recontextualize this like the same way Bill Clinton does. If you can't do that, she shouldn't be
Bill,
going
but
on
Bill,
shows.
You say the same way Bill Clinton does. Bill Clinton couldn't have navigated this either like that. The children are being headshot. What are you going to do about it? Bill Clinton wouldn't have had a good answer here if he was a senator in a vulnerable state with an election coming up again, knowing that he's going to be attacked by the entire right and the entire far left. I don't think he would have had a better answer for this.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe it's different considering this is post his administration. But I feel even if I'm able to look through this, if you or I or Hutch or anyone watching this would be like, I know what she means. This is ridiculous. This is lopsided. Nevertheless, you know, voters are going to see this as inauthentic when they can look at someone who is able to give either, you know, bullshit populism answers to this or, you know, deflect answers or grandstanding answers. And my worry is like, yeah, I don't think she has the rhetorical skills to handle like super adversarial things, even if they are gotcha. But that's what people running for president have to do. But
well,
yeah,
not
that's all,
but that's not true. Donald Trump didn't. So it's people that run for president.
Yeah, if he doesn't go on the shows, if you just avoid him, sure. Which is like
I think
said,
that
yeah,
something I'd be curious about, I guess. Now I'm gotcha and, you know, putting you on the spot. Can you think of a single person that's ever answered a question like this about Israel-Palestine satisfactorily on any of these far-left shows?
I don't watch a lot of far-left shows, so not off the top of my head. But, hey, you give me some homework.
Sure. Okay, I'd be curious of anybody, because I feel like nobody. Because I remember even watching Hassan watching Kamala Harris when Kamala was like, we need to call for a full and total ceasefire right now. And Hassan was like,
he's like, oh, he doesn't mean it. Yeah, it's
or
a
that
lie.
Like, oh, this
yeah,
isn't anything. Like, it doesn't matter. It's just a ceasefire, right? I don't know.
Exactly the same as Trump, from what I understand.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks. I'll send you a clip if I can find one. Yeah. All right. Thanks. Bye. Bye.
Slotkin isn't up for election this year. Oh, never mind. I thought she was running again this year. My bad. Did she say she got in 2018? So she'd be up again in 2032? Oh, she won in 2024. 2030? Then? Okay.
Well, that's what the question is getting at.
Wait, Pisco, I think you're also missing a point here, which is this is in the context of AOC saying we need to sanction Israel, but voting yes on Iron Dome funding because she says, hey, this is strictly defensive.
She didn't vote yes.
Well,
she, like,
voted or abstained or whatever. The point is she's making a distinction here between the Iron Dome and every other weapons funding. And so it's like, hey, if you're making a distinction or if some people on the left make this distinction because they say this is going to prevent civilian deaths and this isn't going to be used to kill anyone, right, then why not send this as humanitarian aid to other countries that are getting bombed? That's where they're getting at. And I understand
now there
the
could be responses to that. No. I absolutely understand that. And you can have a bunch of reasons why the answer to it should be clear. But that doesn't mean that the question itself is stupid if you're just trying to elicit. Well, it's not enough to say something's defensive, right? There are other factors to consider, such as whether it's in America's strategic interest to be allied with such a country. And that will certainly turn – I am, for example, in favor of cutting off all funding for Israel at this point, given how they're conducting themselves in this Iran war, to say nothing of Gaza. No. And so I don't actually – I don't think it's like a
– Wait, what? Or does he mean like because they dragged us into the Iran war? Or does he just mean because of what they've done – in the Iran war? I don't know. Okay, I don't know. I don't care. Why even try to comprehend far left foreign policy? Whatever.
Fucking, it's so bad faith of a question. I think if it's a stupid question, she should be able to answer it. You said that she answered it fine. What's the problem?
The problem, I think, is that I think what's happening right now is the Democratic Party, like the politicians, the actual elected politicians, they all saw the same kind of like postmortems of 2024. They all saw a resounding assessment that they ignored the alternative media space. And obviously, like, we're seeing a ton more Democrats going to these spaces. But what's happening is I think that their staffers are scheduling them for interviews with people, and they're just now finding out just how rabidly like anti-democratic party a lot of these spaces are.
True.
And so now it's creating these awkward situations like what you had with Breaking Points and Slotkin. The problem is that she was going for like this gotcha question. I mean, there was another part. There was like a couple other parts in the interview where she basically asked her like, "How do you sleep at night?"
After the crime.
Like, how do you sleep at night with like a clear conscience? Or like she said at one point, you know, you said, you know, you care about like human rights, or you say you care about human rights. I mean, it was like she was skewering her.
Yeah.
And then just today or yesterday on Breaking Points, they posted a video where they were reacting to Alyssa Slotkin having a town hall, and then somebody asked her, like, hey, so you took $4.2 million from the pro-Israel lobby. Like, what do you have to say about that? That number came from AIPAC Tracker. And I don't know if you guys heard about all that controversy. Did you guys hear about that?
Yeah, like their methodology seems like totally fucked.
Their methodology is crazy. Like, if it's an individual donor who at any point has donated to a pro-Israel lobby, they were counting that in AIPAC Tracker. And they were not applying that same standard
consistently across.
So it is insane. And Crystal Ball was like promoting this kind of attack on Slotkin on her program. Like, to me,
that kind of attack or AIPAC Tracker specifically? Because I did see Ryan Grimm question the methodology of
But she was legitimizing the question, and she was saying, well, she needs to just have better answers for these like legit questions. It wasn't a legit question.
Wait, in what sense was it not a legit question? I'm asking you, why is it not legit?
God.
I don't know if you. All right, sorry, I'm going to take a breath because I'm losing composure a little bit.
Hush, tell me if I'm wrong, but what you're saying is like this is clearly like Crystal and Sagar coming in with this like very anti-Democratic Party messaging Israel-Palestine question that was like in what would otherwise be probably not like a super adversarial environment. Like, you know, Pete's going on with a Republican and he's expecting some sort of attacks, but like they're like all of a sudden like, hey, bam, here's like a weird framing of this specific issue and why don't you have a perfect answer for this right away? It's like, I don't know if you want to call it clip.
Well, then they got the wrong read on Breaking Points then, right? Like if they want to get a hand job, they come on Live and Learn. But if they want to have the fucking reporter ask them questions, they go on Breaking Points.
Martin Bailey.
It wasn't just a reporter asking questions, though. It was like the most aggressively adversarial type of interview. Anything where you're asking, like, where you're grilling people on follow-ups is like crazy aggressive.
Martin Bailey.
No.
Nobody's asking.
Wow. I didn't know that. I was asking if that was Hutch's position. Hutch, is that kind of what you're getting at? Or
nobody's asking anybody to give politicians hand jobs, but maybe don't like legitimize questions where the underlying premise is entirely false and malicious. Maybe don't.
So I'm
do
not
that.
Getting that hand job later.
Maybe don't do that. That's what she did. That's what football did.
When you give us the $25, we're meeting you on the front.
I'll take a hand job.
We're gonna lube up that trench, all right?
I'm a big like hand jobs are underrated guy.
Wait, we haven't talked about Viktor Orban.
Oh wait, yeah.
That's huge. And Dylan is here.
Yeah. Sure, I talk about Orban. I also have. I did have a few things I didn't want to talk to you guys specifically about that's in the news, but I wanted to say just quickly before we move off this topic, people don't like Democrats. People hate Democrats right now. People hate Democrats more than Republicans. That's what the polling shows, right? It might not, even Republicans in power, that's currently what the polling shows, that more people are dissatisfied with Democrats, but they still might vote for them in the next election, right? If that's the public perception, whether or not Crystal Ball and Ryan Grimm or any of these people were particularly fair in one or two interviews, you're going to meet hostility in the majority of the country, because that's how the majority of the country feels towards the Democratic Party. It might be different.
What you did, though. Let him finish.
Wait. Let me be clear. Let me make my position on Crystal Ball perfectly clear. When Crystal Ball talks, the country is worse off. That is my official position on Crystal Ball. I really don't. Now, of course, it's because I care about a certain issue and I see her speak so ignorantly on it. I assume that's how she speaks on other topics. I can't truly know because I'm not an expert on all these other topics. But when I see her speak about Ukraine, she is as less knowledgeable as I can imagine. But at the end of the day, a lot of people are not knowledgeable in Ukraine. A lot of people are not knowledgeable in all sorts of topics. And the Democrats have this negative perception. If you want to be president of the United States, you have to learn to go into rooms where everybody hates you and you somehow make progress, where people will ask unfair questions of you and you will actually get something beneficial out of it. And so whether or not this question was good, I think that this is a good candidates should have to have their nose broken before they run for president of the United States, politically, of course.
100%.
In some cases physically, but mostly politically.
And we see the concept. That's a great image. You should pull it up. By Hutch.
Asking me to share this.
Yeah,
this is that's great. Literally
that's what I'm right. Wait,
keep in mind another issue too. Again, I don't necessarily disagree with any of these things. It just sucks that only center left people have to do it right now or are expected to do it right now, and they have no safe platforms. But the biggest issue here is the fact that she didn't know that she was signing up for that hardcore of an interview, and there was no reason to expect that it was going to be that hostile, especially from the left-leaning person on the show. Remember, these didn't come from Sagar, which I would understand it a little bit more. They came from Crystal. All of them did.
Do it so people can see it.
Wait, can you
read it? Read
that's
it.
The Dem base right now.
Yeah, it's he has a shirt that says "Vote Blue no matter who." I hate Democrats, but I would never, ever, 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 never miss a special election. I promise.
Listen, I'll take a party that has a lot of like dislikes leadership, but just like votes in every special election. Listen, I'll take that. It's not sustainable for the long run, but. You know, I'd rather be.
What do you think about Dylan's point, though, about reps? Because I thought that was an issue for both Biden and for Kamala. And maybe Biden, it's because of his age, because honestly, Biden was really good, although he made a lot of, like, obviously, like, slip-ups, and he was known for gaffing and stuff. But when he was on it, like, he was pretty good in some contested settings. If you watch him in the VP debate with Paul Ryan, I thought he was incredibly good in those hostile environments. Pete gets reps, man. He gets reps on these shows. And so, like, what's wrong with the reps argument from D Burns?
No, I. So the fact that she is like doing a more aggressive media schedule, the fact that she's now using populist rhetoric. I don't know if you guys have seen. She's talking about the system being rigged, and you know, like she's definitely like. I don't know. I feel like she's definitely giving out feelers that she's going to run, and she's a serious person. So I would take that seriously in terms of like her actually running. I'm not saying her chances, but. My point that I was making is that she did handle that question well. I think Soypel fell victim to, you know.
I'm a victim.
So what's the issue if she handled it well? Then what's the problem? She handled it well then.
All due respect to Soypel. I think you fell victim to the idea of like, Crystal was like so self-assured throughout that entire interview. And when I listened to the substance of like what Crystal was asking and when I actually listened to Slotkin's answers, I don't think it was Slotkin that looked silly in that interview, okay?
Well, wait, you said you had to watch it twice, Hutch, right? Why did you have to watch it twice to come to that conclusion, though?
Didn't you say went back and watched it?
I watched it as a refresher, but I had the same exact opinion. You can ask my chat. We watched it at the time. I was like, this is fucking silly. Like, the questions that they're asking, and they're cutting her off.
I'm not even necessarily disagreeing with that. I'm not saying, oh, man, Crystal Ball fucking owned Alyssa Slotkin. Like, I'm not... That's like a falling victim to that. I'm watching. I'm like, Slotkin's not giving the answers that I think are making her look good here. Even if she is on the money for some of these, I don't think this is a good performance. And it makes me hesitant that if she's on a debate stage, that the same kind of questions are going to make her look good in polls when people reflect on the debate and say, listen. I don't know, Slotkin didn't do well, even if I agree with her. That's what I'm saying.
Wow. I think that's the online bias, but we should talk about Orban a bit. We should.
Orban.
I want to hear Burns's take.
Wait, well, before we get to Burns, can we all agree we can vote out fascism? It's possible. This hope pilled me for the Democrats in the midterms, and it's like, wow, well, like, you know, it's the meme, right? It's you guys are so vindicated.
Yeah, well, Guy and I are vindicated.
Wait, I'm white pilled. I've been white pilled for a while.
I was always skeptical, but yeah, watching Orban get voted out,
Dylan, why
guys? Let's vote harder.
Why should Americans give a fuck about this? Why is this significant?
Well, I think Americans specifically, they should give a fuck because Orban was the model. Before there was Trump, there was Orban. And people have forgot for a while, but that gruesome motherfucker has been lurching in the shadows for the longest period of time. You'd see him at CPAC. You see him at conservative conferences. Tucker Carlson was making fawning documentaries about how Orban saved Europe. For the Fox News Network before he lost his job and was interviewing people about sucking Obama's dick while on crack. So I think that what that shows is that Orban was a big influence. It was like a mecca for conservatives to go see how you could deal with migrants, how you could deal with the left, how you could deal with the LGBT propaganda. He was a culture war warrior in the middle of Europe.
But he was also like a competent usurper, right? Like, talk about the ways that he like concentrated power in Hungary. Like, how did he actually change the?
Okay, Justice Samuel Alito is not retiring. Sources close to Justice Alito confirmed the Fox News report. Confirmed the Fox News report that he has decided not to step down this year. In addition, sources close to Justice Thomas tell me he's not retiring. Wow, hold on, let's get some Vosh slop real quick. Uh oh.
I've been trying to think about how to begin episode, which is a very, very tricky one. And I found
not for a guy like me.
Myself thinking about a debate I heard a lot in 2023 and 2024. Free Palestine! You would hear these chants and see these.
We're getting now like the short-term version of the one day everyone will have always been against this from Ezra Klein.
Like, Ezra Klein has been a cheerleader and champion of genocide for years. Just
a cheerleader and champion of genocide. Sheesh. Sheesh. Sheesh.
In a moderate, you know, chin stroking kind of way. But now, like, the needle's moved too far, so he has to pretend that some new revelation has come about that has changed his position, rather than it just being impossible to continue to hold this position in the face of public opinion turning. So now it's like, oh, well, you know, at the time I felt this, but then after Israel did the same thing 500,000 times in a row, that's what changed my mind.
From the river to the sea. From the river to the sea. And it flared into this huge controversy.
Free Palestine from the river to the sea means get rid of all the Jews.
No, from the river to the sea means the land in between is free. Everyone in between is free.
No, this is a genocidal chant.
What was always so strange to me, so backwards about this focus on college campus protesters, was that there was this reality people weren't really admitting, that there is one power from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. That power, that sovereign, which if you travel in that area, and I have, is just visually undeniable.
It takes so long to say everything. Have you considered the regional power in Israel as Israel? Holy shit, really?
Is Israel. American politics is not-
The fucking enormously powerful militarized ethno-state given money and weapons by the United States that also has illegal nuclear weapons that it hasn't registered and refuses to acknowledge the existence of, and that drafts like every one of us.
Is there a place? Do you register your nuclear weapons somewhere? Is that a thing?
What do you mean by I have illegal nukes?
Are you supposed to register them? Is there like a place? Maybe? There might be some international nuke place where you go to register your nukes at.
Certainly. That country, they have sole control over the region that they have control over?
Grappled really at all.
I'm sorry, I hate Ezra Klein. I just hate this, like, New York Times editorial columnist, chin-stroking, Substack motherfucker type who's, like, arriving at basic, obvious conclusions everyone left of center arrived at ages ago, but they take forever to get there because they were, like, completely beholden to consultancy beforehand. So now they have to contrive some, like, intellectual justification for their pulling over, like, after the average Democratic voter already has, you know?
Wow.
With a level of day-to-day domination that Israel exerts over Palestinian lives and the complete absence of any horizon at all.
Yeah, been like that since the Nakba. Like, it's been like that unrelentingly for 80 years with no change in the conditions.
What's
they have
the Nakba
to have...
or whatever?
It's just AIDS. In 47, there was a big... Well, it's just... In 47, there was a huge civil war that after... There was this resolution that was put before the United Nations. I believe it was UN Resolution 181. It was the formal partition plan to split the mandatory Palestine area that British was going to hand over to the government of whoever emerged from that area. They was going to split it into two states. It would have been... One state would have been Israel. One state would have been Palestine. And obviously, all of the Israeli... all of the Arab states rejected this, of course. And then right after that, the Palestinian Arabs in the area commenced in a civil war against the Jewish people in the area. Initially, it was kind of dicey, but then eventually they fight back. And then in 48, obviously Israel declares itself a nation. And then all of the Arab states try to invade and all this bullshit. But in the course of this war, there are some 700,000 Arab Palestinians that are pushed out of the area that they lived in prior to the conflict beginning in 47. And the Arabs refer to this as the Nakba. I think it stands for tragedy or something, the tragedy or something. But that's so they always refer to that as, they'll say genocide or ethnic cleansing or whatever else, but that is the Nakba is what they're referring to.
Unrelenting, overwhelming control over Palestinian lives for longer than you and I have been alive. Nothing new has happened. Nothing's changed.
For that to end. And this was true before October 7th.
Whoa.
In early 2023, the political scientists Michael Barnett, Nathan Brown, Mark Lynch, and Shibli Talhami published an edited volume called The One State Reality. Their argument, which also made in a very controversial foreign affairs piece, was that, quote, Palestine is not a state in waiting, and Israel is not a democratic state incidentally occupying Palestinian territory. All the territory west of the Jordan River has long constituted a single state under Israeli rule, where the land and the people are subject to radically different legal regimes.
That's such a crazy and controversial argument. That's fucking why they really said that. That thing that's been true for 80 years that everyone everywhere knows. That's crazy.
And Palestinians are-
so it hasn't been true for 80 years. It's been true for 60 years. He's just not acknowledging because no pro-Pali person acknowledges this, that west of the Jordan River, well, actually the Gaza Strip was run by Egypt from 48 to 67, and the West Bank was run by Jordan. Jordan even formally annexed the West Bank into their country, but whatever.
Permanently treated.
I guess if you mostly gotten your news from the New York Times, from Ezra Klein, this might actually be really novel to you. You're like, well, I'll be. It's like some kind of apartheid state over there. You're telling me that Palestinians and Israelis have two different sets of laws to follow? Why isn't anyone talking about this?
As a lower caste.
Oh, oh, oh!
What they were saying then is that the hope of a two-state solution in the future had become a way, many in America particularly, avoided reckoning with the one-state reality of the present. That reality was not accidental. It was not and is not intended to be transient. It was being etched into the land in stone and cement, in settlements and checkpoints, in the construction of walls and the demolition of homes. That might have been a controversial claim when they made it.
In 2023. I'm like, seriously, I can't believe... I got an email recently from someone who was like, do you think Ezra Klein's more reasonable than you think? Really? This guy? That might... Now listen, viewer, that might sound crazy, all those things I just told you. What's with this affect he's pushing to make ADIQ people feel smart? It's basically like the liberal equivalent of neo-Nazi Twitter midwits who pretend that they've read like Evola or whatever, you know? They're the kind of person who talks about fascism not in a like Ural race war way, but more in a like, yes, it's true. Mankind has always been following the curvature of its evolutionary trajectory, and it seems our trajectories diverged some time ago. And it's like...
Okay, but true.
You like get to the root of what they're saying, and they're basically saying like, black people scary, you know? But it's meant to make you feel smart. It's meant to make you feel smart. You're so smart.
What has happened since October 7th has made it an undeniable reality. Israel now occupies more than half of Gaza. More than 2 million Gazans have been...
Actually, occupies all of Gaza, because occupation refers not only to the literal physical presence of soldiers, but also to political and military dominion, which they...
Not really. This is a retarded argument, but okay.
They have complete and absolute power over...
herded into less than half of the land they formerly occupied. And Gaza, it should be said, was already one of the most overcrowded places on Earth.
Fascinating.
The conditions Gazans now live in...
I feel very on the money so far that this is a video justifying a change in perspective that he's had for the first time in a many decades long career. Not many, but like several decades long career. But so far, every piece of evidence he cited to justify his change in position is from 80 years ago.
And there is no near term, there's no imagined, there's no envisioned relief. This is and it remains collective punishment. Hamas, not the children of Gaza, attacked Israel on October 7th. The conditions the children of Gaza now live in are not, they're not more...
It's revolutionary stuff if you read the New York Times and you were under the impression that October 7th was when a fucking company of Palestinian children invaded Israel.
In the West Bank, Israel has choked off money to the Palestinian Authority. It has built settlements, chosen to build settlements, at a record pace. More...
They didn't just appear there on their own? Fucking
$20,000
more dollars to his Substack.
This is the issue, man. That really gets the kids fired up.
Jesus.
If they chose to build it, they didn't just spontaneously erupt like acne from the earth.
Settlements were approved in the last year alone, than in the two decades before combined. Israel has protected a terrifying rise in settler violence and military violence.
I hadn't heard about
towards
this
Palestinians.
Right now.
There is no doubt if you go there who rules the West Bank, and it is not the PA. When Netanyahu signed a recent settlement project, a project the United States had opposed for a long time because it would effectively bisect the West Bank, making a Palestinian state physically unimaginable. Netanyahu made clear that that was exactly why he was signing it.
It's sanitizing the liberal Zionist perspective. I personally just think it's important to remember that none of these people believe in fucking anything. That authentic, sincere belief has been scoured from the surface of the American political and consultancy classes as effectively as a solar flare would scour the magnetosphere of the Earth. It's all gone. It literally doesn't exist. It might have some time ago. 100 years ago, things might have been different. But not now. I don't think it would actually scour the magnetosphere. It'd scour the ozone, right? I don't know. I don't really know how the sun works. It's like a god, right? The sun's a god, and there's a solar flare when he's mad at you. I don't know. Don't worry about it. Yes. Okay. Gotcha.
He said, "We are going to fulfill our promise. There will be no Palestinian state. This place belongs to us." In the north, Israel has used war in Iran as cover to invade Lebanon, displacing more than 1 million people. A million. And
he's saying like a million, like it's but shocking, or not just like a number you could.
Hezbollah terrorists.
Nobody ever deals with any of the other concerns of that. We don't talk about that.
Aren't they trying to get the Hezbollah terrorists, not the Lebanese people?
We don't talk about that here.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you're right.
There is, like, regardless of them going after, like, Israel always has a valid security concern, but they also...
Yeah, there will be citizens displaced, et cetera, right?
Well, but they also push it really far. Like, sure, like, Hezbollah is a real thing, but, like, if you're a Lebanese person and you're being kicked out of your home, you probably don't... The Israelis are probably having a worse effect on you at that point in time than Hezbollah is.
Hezbollah?
Yeah. I hate inauthenticity. I really do. I understand that to an extent, if you work in politics, a degree of inauthenticity is necessary, if for no other reason than because the average voter has the, I don't know, mental faculties of a cow.
Why wouldn't the Lebanese government go in then and deal with Hezbollah?
Hezbollah is way too powerful. There is no... I don't even know if Lebanon has like...
Are we doing this as like a Mexico equivalent? It's like the cartels are too powerful for Mexico to deal with?
Hezbollah is at one point in time, Hezbollah, I believe, had more missiles. I think like their stockpiles like 5 years ago, it was supposed to be the largest missile stockpile, I think, on the planet, right? Somebody could tell me if I'm wrong on that, but Hezbollah is just an insanely powerful military organization, or they were, but somehow Israel got under their shit with the pager shit a while ago. But in the 80s, there were a couple like Lebanese civil wars where Israel went up and they kind of fucked shit up for a while, and they fucked Hezbollah shit up for a while. But the something happened. They got a leader. They grew. They became more sophisticated in their techniques. In 2006, when Israel tried to go in and fuck up Hezbollah again, the Israeli military got absolutely fucking like ball smacked. Yeah, it was not even close, which was not like conceivable to the IDF at the time, because they'd been so used to beating up on like all the people Second Intifada Palestinian. It was not like huge threats to them. So, but now Hezbollah got completely wrecked. Yeah.
Why? I just like, I don't understand why some of these, I guess, Arab governments, and I will even go with Mexico to an extent, why do you let like these terrorist organizations exist within your state?
Well, you don't want
them
to.
Why don't
but
you
they're...
ask someone for help?
Well, who's going to help you?
So I'm sure Israel would probably want to work with Lebanon. I'm sure the United States could work with them. No.
Even if Mexico asked,
like, can you come help us with our cartel problem? I think Donald Trump would be like, yeah, let's figure it out.
Maybe. I don't know how involved that would look. But the issue that you run into in the Middle East is the leaders that are there are largely there from the partitioning of the Middle East after World War I. And these are all royal families that have close allegiance with and work with and cooperate with the United States of America. The leadership are all very Western aligned, obviously, because they work with us. And as a consequence of that, they're very Israel aligned. The populations, maybe not as much. It's hard to know sometimes. People will talk about like the Arab Street as like the opinion for kind of like a lot of the people in these Gulf states in Egypt and in the Middle East and in Lebanon or whatever. But like, so you run into an issue where like the leadership might be supportive of Israel, but like would the citizens be supportive of Israel like going in and working with an Arab state? Although to be fair, Lebanon is like supposed to be like a tri-equal state between three different groups of people instead of just Arab Muslim or whatever. But it would be a really big deal to invite Israel in to come and work with you to kick somebody out. I just, for a variety of like geopolitical reasons, I just don't know.
It kind of fucks with your sovereignty as well.
Yeah, it puts you in a weird spot because all the other Arab people are looking at you weird. I don't even know if the leadership in these Arab states would think it's a good idea. Israel also is like notorious. We now know this from our own perspective over the past few months. Israeli leadership just doesn't apparently have any mind at all for any other Arab leaders or any other leaders around the planet. They only think about their own leaders and how their own leaders look on the world stage. They have zero consideration for how other people look. People are saying Lebanon doesn't even recognize Israel as a state right now. Yeah, that might be the case. I'm not sure who does or doesn't right now. So they might not. Yeah, so it's just a lot. Yeah,
okay, I mean, it all seems fucked over there. I don't know what you want me to say. It's
fucked. Pretty fucked. It's kind of fucked. Yeah,
pitch them ideas because they genuinely wouldn't understand the actual plan. I understand. I get that. Okay. But this degree of inauthenticity genuinely sickens me. You can be like you can engage in every bad faith defense of Israel, every time wasting, pearl clutching, hand waving defense. We need to move past this conversation, pretending it doesn't matter, pretending that if it does matter, we're doing all we can over and over and over and over and over again. And then finally you change your mind and your justification for doing so is this poorly thought out. Not even any like real reckoning with your conscience. He's not even like, after believing these things for so long, like, is he suggesting that he didn't know all this? Like, none of this information was available to him, Ezra Klein, this whole time? Why is he telling us this? You're the one who changed your mind. I haven't changed my mind. I've been morally consistent since day one.
Wow.
I've always believed this.
King.
So you're the one who changed your mind. You tell me. Why did you change your mind? You're just telling me why I should agree with you now. I already knew why. I can't. It's infuriating to me. It's so fucking infuriating to me. It's so angering that, like, you can just... I don't even care that he makes money from it or that he's powerful or whatever, because he does and he is. You know, what I care about, I guess, is the idea that, like, this is the only way you can do things now, you know? Like, it's... In the environment that has been created, there's not only room for this to flourish, but like it's the only thing that can.
What is this consultancy thing Vosh keeps saying? So remember, all the lefties are of the belief that basically 80% of the Democratic Party is ready to be full-on socialist. It's just like weird things being put in the way. The billionaires, the elites, you know, they've got this concept of manufactured consent that the media is actually, even if people aren't left-leaning, it's just because the media is forcing them not to be by brainwashing them. And one of the talking points they like to use is that the people that are telling Democratic politicians how to run their campaigns and how to operate are like these elite consultants. And these consultants, the consultancy class, is being paid a lot of money by big business billionaires to tell the Democratic Party how to function and operate. And that's why they don't bring out our socialist candidates or whatever. So it's like the consultancy class, basically.
So it's not the voters.
Correct. It's never the voters.
600,000 will not be allowed to return to their homes until Israel has established its security zone, whatever that proves to be, and that it is decided that Israelis in the north are safe. To put it bluntly, it is an open question whether any of those 600,000 Lebanese will ever be able to return to their homes or if they even have homes.
I know, because I read news sources that aren't the New York Times. What's your point?
To return to.
I do not want to underplay what Israel is actually dealing with here. I have immense sympathy for Israel's war against Hezbollah. They are defending themselves in a way any state would.
By invading the state, occupying it, demolishing all of the residences, displacing over 1 million people, and then creating settlements illegally to establish a buffer zone so you can continue, just like any state would, really.
But this, again, is collective punishment. Those 1 million Lebanese, they are not all Hezbollah. Israel's security challenges are very real. Its horror, its fear, its trauma after October 7th was very real. It's
I haven't heard about it.
Determination to make sure that never happened again is what any state and any people would do. Okay. Its
the
right
trauma.
To reprisal against Hamas and Hezbollah were undeniable. I am not...
See, this is always the issue. That's why this conversation goes nowhere. It's because nobody on either side, on either extreme side, will recognize the trauma or whatever the fuck from the other side. So it's just a brain dead. It's a waste of fucking time. All these people are a waste of fucking time.
Someone who wants to see the state of Israel cease to exist. What Israel is choosing here.
Ezra Klein speaking directly to his APAC handlers. You know, please listen. I'm still on your side. I'm still laundering Israeli propaganda, but the shift in Democratic public opinion is forcing me to take a slightly different stance on this.
A one-state reality that already is and will continue to be understood the world over as apartheid. It endangers that state too. The cost of Israel cannot morally be the permanent subjugation of millions of Palestinians. In February, Gallup found for the first time more Americans sympathize with the Palestinians than the Israelis.
So he hasn't actually changed his mind? Nope. Hence the position, one day everyone will have always been against this. He's this inauthentic piece of shit isn't even explaining how he changed his mind, even though that is what he's saying he's doing. He's pretending that he's always had this position. He's just catching you up on what he believes and what he's always believed.
Among Democrats, among young Americans, it is not even close.
And here's why.
Israel maintains support among older Americans, and it has benefited from the advanced age of the last few presidents. Their views of Israel forged in another time, around another Israel.
It was the same Israel.
American politics.
This is why I'm also saying that, like, there's no point in ever trying to appeal to these people. You will never, ever, 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 ever come far enough. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you do. Nothing will ever be enough for these people. So I don't know why the fuck people would try to waste their time on it.
Tex has not yet fully grappled with what Israel has chosen to become.
It always was this.
For decades, always. For my entire...
As infuriating as it is, it's still a good sign people like him are turning, but he's not turning. He still believes what he believed, and he's actively lying to you because he's trying to remain relevant. Why would he want to remain relevant without actually shifting his opinion? Because he remains their agent. Okay. An agent of Israel, an agent of the deep state. Why else would he... Or let me put it another way. Why an inauthentic turn if he actually was changing his mind? Because this is absolutely inauthentic. Why not an authentic turn? If he was only trying to remain popular, then he would be anti-Israel. Why stay pro-Israel, and why frame it in such a disingenuous way? Because his perspective is unchanged. He is still an ally to the project of genocide. He now, rather than directly opposing it or pretending that it's, you know, not happening at all, now he will do what every liberal fucking shitlib pundit will do, which is waste time by, you know, half-assing solutions or acting as though the left is poisoning the well by being anti-Semitic, even though the left was right in everything they said, and he's now moving to that position, even as he pretends that he's not. Seems authentic to me. I don't know. Thanks, guy who only reads NYT. Phenomenal. The music really does it, I guess. The fake, like,
Her life. Discourse in America around Israel has always been couched in the future tense. It has always sat in the language of solutions. Do you support a two-state solution? Do you support a one-state solution? I don't think this is a time to talk about solutions. I think that is a way of sheltering ourselves.
The reason he doesn't want to talk about it is because it's become increasingly obvious that no version of that problem can be solved while Israel exists in the form that it does. Like, you want a one-state solution? You can't because Israelis are evil. You want a two-state solution? You can't because Israelis are evil. If you talk about solutions, you have to talk about the obstacle to implementing them, and the obstacle in both cases is that Israel is evil, so he can't talk about it. He doesn't want to talk about anything that would betray just how bad the problem is.
What is actually happening? Okay. I think what is needed now is simply a confrontation with realities.
Phenomenal. Didn't even acknowledge. Oh, just we need to engage with reality. After 3 years of this, man, 3 fucking years of this. God, I hate him. I hate him so much. In a way, it's kind of like the pundit version of the revolving door villain theory. No, left it at that. Yeah. No apologies to all the people that he smeared or all the bad faith. And just go look at everything that he's contributed to the New York Times. Everything he said about Israel.
No offense. Oh, I don't even know why I'm saying no offense. Who the fuck is Ezra Klein smearing? I feel like Ezra Klein is like the most fucking milquetoast liberal dude. Like, who the fuck is he smearing?
And boy, does he write a lot. Man, he writes a lot. Deep state loves him. Remember his Tennessee Coast debate? Mm. Don't forget the monstrous people he's platformed. I won't.
So that's a populist position of like, oh, Ezra Klein, he's like bought and paid for by like the deep state. Like, da-da-da? Yeah?
Yeah, of course, yeah. This is like, it's all like Israel, APAC, deep state, handlers, the consultancy class. There's
it's like
always
having a boogeyman.
Yes, always a boogeyman, yeah. Because you can't ever point to him either, right? There's always some big amorphous blob behind the scenes that's controlling everything. And that's why you always have an excuse for why you've lost everything, why you weren't able to win your elections or weren't able to accomplish what you wanted to. It's because of the big boogeyman, always.
Yep, makes
sense. Just informing his Zionist handlers that he's going to be shifting his rhetoric slightly, and he's trying to appease the leftward shifting Democratic base on this issue. Somebody smells midterm change approaching. As this becomes more of a 90-10 issue among Democrats, the Zionists are going to have to find ways to cloak themselves amidst you. They're going to have to find ways to make their poison more palatable when, like, basically every single Democrat in America is uniformly anti-Israel. They'll always have Fetterman? Well, no, Fetterman will be out soon. The Dems are going to force out the non-pro-Israel candidate in 2028, aren't they? I mean, the three people most likely to run that we know of right now are Slotkin, Gavin Newsom, and Kamala Harris, and all three of them are...
Bro, it's so far into the future for presidential election. Oh, my God.
Slaves to Israel. So you know, you take your pick.
Jesus,
and Gavin Newsom are going to force out the non-pro-Israel candidate in 2028, aren't they? I mean, the three people most likely to run that we know of right now are Slotkin, Gavin Newsom, and Kamala Harris, and all three of them are slaves to Israel.
Based.
So you know, you take your pick.
Problem, troll face? You got a problem
I
with
pick
that?
Whoever
is the biggest slave
is going to be the most aggressive
anti-Israel?
On accountability.
Oh, against Israel?
No, against the Trump administration.
Fuck you.
Hey, do you care and want to make a difference about politics? Digital Ground Game and I are inviting you to participate in organizing for the upcoming midterms. If you want to join a canvassing house or come to events, or just volunteer a few hours a week from home, fill out the form below and help us save democracy. We will find something for you to do, and we will connect you to political action.